Wake up with Power FM's Brad and Hutsy.
And when I go to the supermarket and buy my fruit and veg, I'll take the time to find the ones that aren't bruised, that kind of look good. Do you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And really, when you think about it, it's kind of stupid because it all gets mashed up in the end. and that's why a couple of guys down in Melbourne, two mates, Josh and Josh, they started up a business called Farmer's Pick. And it's all about selling the ugly veggies to the customers.
They're the fruits and vegetables simply too ugly for the supermarkets. The weird and wonky farm rejects are boxed up and delivered to households for almost half of what they'd normally pay for perfection.
Our family box is roughly about 40% cheaper than what you can get in the supermarkets.
So it's kind of like HelloFresh, but more like Hello Ugly. It's just all the ugly fruit and veggies that normally would get chucked out. Up to 50% of the crops the farmers grow ends up in landfill or as stock feed.
Yeah.
Because the supermarkets turn their nose up at it.
Yeah, I reckon these two guys were raised with their mother telling them it's what's on the inside that counts.
Pretty much, yeah.
On the inside.
I know some supermarkets have been doing this for a while with the Odd Bunch. Like you can buy packets of the sort of weird-looking veggies. But these guys are delivering them to homes at a fraction of the cost. Genius idea. And like you said, we always get sold on this idea that we have to eat the perfect fruit. Mm. I blame, like, social media. Especially, you know, celebrity fruits like the bananas in pajamas, those guys like B1 and B2, always using a filter when they put their Insta pics on.
Divas, those two.
Pretty much. If you saw B2 in real life, he's just covered in brown spots. But he always puts a filter on whenever he takes a selfie and puts it up on the gram.
Yeah, I'd be totally for this. I remember when I was growing up on the Central Coast, not so much fruit, but we had a Sara Lee factory, which was nearby. And out the front, you had all stuff that was like 50% off, 60% off, because it wasn't quite perfect when it was made.
That's
I'm
it.
Like, I don't care.
It's seconds.
I'll eat it.
Yeah. It's a great idea. And as you heard Josh say earlier, they have the family box, which I assume also means a family-friendly box.
Yeah.
I'm thinking there's a room there for them to get into another market, like the adults-only Farmer's Pick. You know what I mean? So they open up the box that has those weird X-rated veggies in there, you know?
We all know those ones.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Although it sounds like a good idea to have a bit of a giggle around the dinner table, although if grandma's there, you don't want her picking up like a phallic-looking carrot going, oh, this reminds me of your granddad. God rest his soul. You know what I mean? That's a really awkward thing to happen at the dinner table. But, great idea. Only in Melbourne at the moment.
Oh, yeah.
Hopefully we see it roll out, in other cities and towns right around Australia.
Great.
Or go globally even. It makes me think about, next time I go to the supermarket, I'll just, grab whatever fruit is there, because when you think about it, what does it matter what your vegetable or fruit looks like? Because even if it is a little brown and lumpy, it all comes out brown and lumpy in the end, except for corn.
Oh, yeah.
Corn always gets a pass for some reason.
Power FM's Brad and Hutsy, weekdays from 6.
Did your parents have strict rules when it came to screen time or video game time when you were growing up, or was it just go until you can't do it anymore?
Like I said before that song, the only screen we had in our house when I was a kid was the TV.
Yeah.
We weren't lucky enough to have like a PC or anything like that, and mobile smartphones and tablets weren't a thing. So it was like, do your homework, then you get to watch a bit of TV.
Yeah.
And that was it.
Because when you've got one TV in the house, you can't just like stop what everyone else is doing so you can play video games and they can sit around and not watch TV and that sort of stuff. So how would you go this day and age, though, if it was like a 21st century Brad, if he had to deal with screen time and stuff? Would you be a bit more, would you be more into the games if you had an extra TV in the bedroom? And would you be able to follow the rules your parents set for you?
Not at all.
I'd be the same, I reckon.
Because like these days, I'm like watching TV, I'm checking my phone for messages, I'm also on my tablet, like just, surfing the internet. I'm looking at like about three screens at once now. I can't hold back.
I feel like we're almost like, we look like one of those people in a call center now, and we're like all of a sudden with the headset, we're doing this over here, we're looking at that screen, we're updating, this thing over there and that sort of stuff. But yeah, I was basically the same. I didn't play much video games, or I got to watch a little bit of TV when I got home, but video games, it would only be a Saturday morning thing because I'd have to tune in the channel every single time to play the Atari. So I'm just like, it's not worth the fight. But this day and age, it can be a bit of a struggle to get the kids to abide by certain hours of screen time and stuff as well. But some recent studies, though, maybe helping out kids when it comes to screen time, proving that maybe it's actually helpful screen time.
Oh,
I know.
Right, really?
Shock horror. Take a listen to this, as a matter of fact.
A third of boys aged 7 and 8 play computer games every day. Only 16% of girls do. But new research has found those games that force a player to progress through levels can boost boys' learning in the classroom. Researchers at the Australian Catholic University found games can help primary school-aged boys improve their problem-solving, creativity and critical thinking.
Wow.
So if you get playing a game where you're getting a star to finish a certain level, it can be educational and well done for you.
That's great. I thought, you know, video games were only good for training kids to use the pokies down the track.
Exactly right.
It's kind of, they're based on the same principle of the rewards system, but that's pretty cool.
I wish they had this research around when I was growing up and we had video games, because the closest thing we had to video games that were like educational were the crappy ones we'd have to feed the animals at the zoo, because it taught how to tell time. All of a sudden you're just this one guy at a horribly understaffed zoo where you're the only person walking from pen to pen feeding the animals. It was absolutely ridiculous. But as you heard, for young boys in primary school, it seems to be working out well. But what about young girls?
Yeah.
Is it working well for them? Well, not so much so, apparently.
When it comes to girls, the science is different. They tend to spend more of their screen time on social media, which can have a lasting, damaging psychological impact.
Oh, okay.
Oh, imagine the household. You're trying to explain that conversation, going, all right, your brother's allowed to play the video games because it's helping with his learning. You need to get off social media because it's not going to work out well for you in the future.
Yeah, well, we need more girls getting into gaming anyway. Like, they're underrepresented. So, yeah, that's so strange, isn't it? Like, you know, what about kids that identify as non-gender, non-binary gender or whatever.
We call that a glitch in the matrix. You found yourself a loophole if it comes to that.
But they're good at both.
Yeah. But for parents, though, it's sort of hard to tell how many hours. It's like 1 hour, 2 hours. What's the sort of, you know, how long should be your screen time every afternoon? What's the sort of
recommended?
Yeah. And then how do you sort of know when to cut them off when it comes to screen time? Well, the experts have weighed in and they had this to say about cutting kids off.
My own tipping point is that if they're completely losing the plot when they're asked not to be on it, then they're probably being on it a little bit too much.
Yeah, so when they get a little bit hangry with the situation, basically.
I'm in my 40s and I still like chuck a tanty if I have to switch off to PlayStation because it's dinner time.
Exactly right. I feel exactly the same. Here's some audio of me getting told I can't watch TV or do the things I like doing.
No TV and no beer, make home or something, something.
Go crazy.
Don't mind if I do.
Power FM's Brad and Hutsy, weekdays from 6.
Remember back in the day when clusters were the things you got in your breakfast cereal?
You got a prize as well.
You did. Now it's all about COVID-19. And, of course, we've had the cluster that sprang up in Sydney a couple of weeks back, all because of that unvaccinated limo driver that was transporting some flight crew. I mean, his excuse was this. But it doesn't quite work like that. And, of course, now that we've had this sort of outbreak happening in Sydney and the greater surrounds, and, you know, we're wearing masks here in regional New South Wales, everyone's like, all right, enough is enough.
Yeah, sort it out.
Let's get this vaccination rollout underway. Let's speed this up, baby.
Yeah.
And now it's gone in the opposite direction. Everyone was dragging their feet. And now it's like a mad rush for everyone to get vaccinated, like it's an Aldi special buy. They're just like, I got to get to these things. They're elbowing others out of the way. Give me my Pfizer. Give me my AstraZeneca. I don't care what it is. Just jab me with it.
They just need incentive. They just need to say, all right, if you want to buy this roll of toilet paper, you have to get the jab.
Oh, yeah.
You're like, cha-ching, we've solved the problem right there.
That's a great way to incentivize it. Now, I got my first jab just after we got back from Queensland. So this was after the outbreak.
Mm.
So yesterday, I got the message saying, oh, 3 weeks later, time for your second jab. So I went down to the Southeast Regional Hospital here in Bega and got my second jab. Yeah. You haven't got any jabs yet, though, have you?
No, I'm unwormed, unvaccinated, unmicrochipped at this stage. I'm a bit of a rogue.
We really got to get you wormed because you keep dragging your butt around the studio on
it's
the carpet. It's not good. Do you know what you're going to go with?
So much kerfuffle at the moment. You got Scott Morrison coming out and going, get whatever you want. It's all good. Volunteer for this. And we've got like I think it was the Queensland chief officer going, no, anyone under 40, do not get this. Mm. It's like, if you get COVID, what will happen to you could be less bad than what happens if you have a reaction to the AstraZeneca. Yeah. I'm like, oh, geez, I don't know what to do. It's just my brain is scrambled at this stage.
I do feel for people like yourself that are stuck in that position. For me, because I'm over 40, it was just like, you get the Pfizer.
Mm.
Simple as that.
It just narrows the option straight down. There's no A or B. It's just, there you go.
That's right.
Okay, cool.
And today, like, I'm feeling good. Again, my arm is a bit sore. Like, it gets anytime you get a needle in it. But yesterday, I've got to admit, like, I was a little cocky when I rolled up.
Oh, okay.
It's like, they go, hey, what's your name? Like, Brad, are you here for your first jab or your second jab? Second jab.
Been here before.
This isn't my first jab rodeo. I know how this all goes down. Just take a seat. And I go, yeah, the waiting area. I know where I'm going. It's okay. Even when the nurse was like, asking me all the questions, I was almost like cutting her off going, no, I don't have that hyperflexus ruckus or whatever you've just said. Yeah, and even when she's giving me the jab, I almost was criticizing her on her technique. Like, you want to go in at more of an angle.
Yeah, all I'm saying
just
is...
just give me the needle, I'll do it.
I've had better jabs, is all I'm saying.
I was like, your dad when he's watching you try to do something, he's like, just get out of the way, I'll do it. No problems. It was all good. Like I said, my arm's really sore today. And you find yourself using it as an excuse to get out of stuff.
Oh, okay, what are you trying to get out of? So
well, yesterday, once I got home, my arm started getting sore. I'm like, oh, it looks like I can't exercise today.
Oh, nice.
Arm's too sore. And now, even now, like just lifting it up, I'm like, oh, any form of manual labor, I'm just going to use it as an excuse to get out of it. Oh, can you go and take the bins out? Oh, I can't. Arm's too sore. It's like, you got vaccinated 3 years ago. Oh, it still plays up every now and then, you know what I mean?
Power FM's Brad and Hutsy, weekdays from 6.